and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from the West Village of Manhattan. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how this whole thing works. You listen to the pod. You enjoy the pod. You post it on Instagram. You tag a friend on my Instagram post. You tweet about it. You Facebook about it. You tell your mom. She Facebooks about it, and she comments on every single Facebook post that someone posts. Let people know about this great show. I gotta make that shirt. Let people know about this great show. See, it rhymes, it makes sense. Let people know. Let people know you're in your life, your mama, your papa, your friends, anyone with ears. We'll take them. We'll take the earless community too. We're open to anybody. So listen, we just want you to tell a friend. And I'm doing a Patreon, 3 extra podcasts a week, $5 a month. That is a in this internet game, that's a deal, people. So $5, 3 extra podcasts a week. That's 12 podcasts a month out of thin air, just popped into your lap. So patreon.com/JaredFreed, patreon.com/JaredFreed. And keep sending your emails, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com, jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We have shows. I'm in Boston this weekend, sold out. That's right, people. No more tickets left. Dallas, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to Perrysburg, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, New Brunswick, New Jersey, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com, jaredfreed.com. Okay, those are our announcements. We're through it. Don't worry. Hold on, let me remind you. Tell a friend. Okay, fine. We're done with it. Okay, very excited for today's guest. She's fantastic. She's the author of the book, How to Not Die Alone. Logan Ury, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really amped after that intro. And honestly, if Jared Freed says you want to hang out and he happens to record it, I'm all here for it.
You're in. Listen, you've been a guest on You Up Podcast and a fantastic guest, but I hadn't had you in this venue. This is
great. I'm thrilled.
You're in the J Train Podcast. It's a little bit, we're going to get to emails. I'm just so excited to have you answer these emails. Can you, to the listeners that don't know, I want you to explain your background and I trust you. I come to you for advice sometimes. So I want people to be able to enjoy your advice as well.
Oh, I just feel so happy and comfortable to be here, and I like our burgeoning friendship. Yeah, who am I? I work as a dating coach, so that means I work directly with people one-on-one about their dating problems. Last night, I did this whole profile refresh for a friend, and it's funny, the smartest people can have the worst profile. So anyway, helping people just put themselves out there in the best way. I work at Hinge. I'm the director of relationship science, which is a really fancy way of saying I do research, and I work as a spokesperson for Hinge. And yeah, my background's in psychology. I love talking about dating. I love thinking about dating, especially from the psychological perspective.
And you're a behavioral psychologist, right?
Behavioral scientist. Yeah, whatever you want to call me.
Behavioral scientist. Yeah. But that behavioral scientist, I feel like we might have talked about this on the podcast when you first came on. Like, I feel like they get riled up in, you know, sometimes I hope I'm not speaking. Tell me when I'm wrong, but it feels like the behavioral scientists of the world get like kind of bogged down in emotional responses to their very kind of statistical and, you know, scientific, you know, breakdowns. You know, like you piss people off is what your profession seems to make people angry sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's true. Although how I think about it in my mind is there's economists out there who are just like, this is how things work, like supply and demand. People are rational. People make decisions like this. And then actually behavioral economists or behavioral scientists come in there and they're like, wait, you're forgetting the emotional piece. So actually behavioral scientists are the ones being like, sure, if we saw how many calories there were at Dunkin' Donuts, that should help us eat less calories. But by the time you're in a Dunkin' Donuts, you want a donut. So you are going to eat the donut. And their whole thing is that calorie counts don't work because it's too late. Instead, how do we get you to fill up at Sweetgreen's before you even go to Dunkin' Donuts? That's a behavioral scientist.
Well, I guess then the revision I would make is that people don't like hearing why they make emotional decisions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's totally fair. No, it's true. It's true. But I think it kind of frees you, because if you're like, oh, it's not my fault. Like, I think the world is telling you, like, Jared, you should have more willpower. You should be more disciplined. Like, any decision that you make that you don't make well is your fault. And if we actually say you're making decisions because of the environment, like you just saw an ad for a delicious Coca-Cola, so you're going to go get that Coke instead of a bottle of water, like, I think it helps people understand that it's not just, do I have willpower or not? It's that the environment that you're making decisions in is affecting those decisions. And so that's why I think it kind of helps people understand it's not all their fault.
I love that explanation. And you made me think, I'm working on this bit on for stand-up about how Rob Lowe is the spokesperson for the Atkins diet food line. And how angry that makes me, because it's like, I know it's almost like I became like I've risen out of my emotional body, and I know what they're doing. They're like, Rob Lowe's hot. Mm-hmm. You want to look like Rob Lowe. We're going to put him on there with some Atkins cookies so that Fat Jared can sit there and be like, well, I'll look like Rob Lowe if I just buy the Atkins cookies. And that I get angry because I'm like, I'm seeing the behavioral psychology that they're trying to pull on me.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. I mean, one of my favorite jokes from Parks and Rec is when they talk about how hot Rob Lowe is, and they're like, he's like, yes, I have the resting heart rate of a 103-year-old tortoise. And it's true. He has good genes, right? He's just really hot. He has good genes. He probably eats really healthy, but I wonder if he even eats Atkins. Like, I don't know. I feel like his whole I don't really know about his diet, but yeah.
I wonder if he's ever had a craving for a carb. Like, why is he, like, if Rob Lowe has ever had to lose 10 pounds, then he has another problem, like a separate issue. Like, it's like, so I could go on and on about Rob Lowe and the Atkins diet for days, but I wanted to get into you. So you do dating coaching. You do relationship coaching or dating coaching, what would you call it?
I would call it dating. Almost everyone I work with is single and looking to find someone. I feel like sometimes people think relationship coaching just like sounds a little less cheesy. I don't feel that precious about it. I call it dating coaching.
So if you go to Logan's website right now, and it's loganury.com, LOGANURY, and it's going to be all over my Instagram. It'll be all over my the description of this episode. LoganUry.com. You have a test, a quiz people can take that can figure out your dating tendencies. Explain the quiz, why it's important to know your dating and tendencies. What is this all about? How will this help people? Because I know everyone's going to listen to this and run straight to your website and do it right now.
First of all, who doesn't love a good quiz?
Sure.
But yeah, in working with a bunch of different people from different backgrounds, I was like, all right, people in some ways aren't that complicated and they seem to have the same things holding them back. So this quiz is like, let's break down what's holding people back. There's these three types. There's the maximizer, the romanticizer, and the hesitator. The romanticizer is that person who's like, I just want the cute how we met story. I want to find my soulmate. I love love. They're very into the romantic narrative. The Cinderella tale. The sweat me off my feet, the reach for the same avocado at the same time. Like, it's all about, it's like cinematic to them.
Let me speak to that person first of all, because it's interesting. Like, let me just say that story can always be written. Yeah. You know, and you notice it. Like, when I ask someone, like, oh, how did you guys meet? The guy's like, Hinge. And then the woman's like, well, I knew his cousin. And the cousin did mention that her older cousin is a great guy. And 3 years later, I'm on Hinge, we match, and then I realize that's the cousin. Like, you can
that
make
makes me
it.
Really happy. It makes me so happy because, I mean, you're a comedian. This is what you do. You make stories out of observations, but like, sure. I actually think that's a really profound thought, which is like, stop trying to have this like Cinderella fairy tale narrative. Just meet however you meet, and then you can turn it into a great story. Everything can be a great story.
Everything can be a great, and I've watched women make every story a great story. Go read the How We Met section of the wedding website.
Just go read it. Everyone has written a bullshit story. You will find your bullshit story. So, like, I, you know, this is to ease the romanticizer's mind. You'll have a story. So, like, let's just, let's get there first. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, one of my best friends, she met her husband. He was the second date she went on a Valentine's Day, her sophomore year of college. And they have been together for 15 years. She was the second guy. He was the second guy she dated that night. And they're like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, it's so funny. Like, that story could be told as a horror story. And it could also be told as the most romantic thing you've ever heard. She's told it at the wedding under, like, it is that story is one kind of sentence away from being an angry story. And I went on the set, I was the second date of her night, you know, or it's the wedding and she decided she's gonna do one more date, take one more shot at love. And it's like, we can find a story.
I think that's very empowering. I also just did the math recently. Let's say you're going to be with someone for 50 years. The day you meet, the how we met, is 0.0052% of your total relationship. And so why are you obsessing over 0.0052% of anything?
This is why I'm such a Logan Urie fan. You always... You make an emotional thing very practical. Did you just do the math just now?
No. Oh, recently, I was just like, what is this obsession with we met? It's one day out of 50 years. It's so small. Like, think about how many days you've lived and how many of them you actually remember. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, focus on the years you're going to be together. Focus on what you build. Like, who cares how you met? Like, let's normalize every sort of how we met being a story.
Totally. So, and also normalize that your friend's story was written after it happened, not as it was happening.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to call it out, but a very close person in my life was featured in the New York Times wedding vows, and they definitely met on Hinge, and they definitely said that they met elsewhere. And it's just one of those things. It's like, it's 2021. Like, meeting on Hinge is great. Meeting on a dating app is great. Like, what is the stigma?
I knew her cousin in nursery school, and we knew each other. Okay, so there's the romanticizer, and then the other two.
Yeah, the next one is a really big one, the maximizer. This is the person they're just always thinking that the next best person is around the corner. And so in their head, it's like, okay, I would take my ex-girlfriend's family, a different girl's face, a different girl's body, this girl's ambition, this girl's sense of humor, and my perfect girl is this. And they feel like they can always find someone better. And they're like, all right, the person I'm with, pretty good, but I could be with someone, you know, 10% hotter, whatever it is. And so they're always looking for the next best thing. And this is the way we are with a lot of things in life. And it just doesn't make people happy.
And now the maximizer, you said 10% hotter. Is it normally about looks, or is it like because I would think it's normally about like the family stuff, the connection stuff, you know, because I think it's easy for people to look at it and go, well, they're just looking for someone hotter. And I would say a lot of breakups don't happen for that reason at all, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. Thank you for calling that out. Like, honestly, I do these sort of breakup consulting calls where somebody calls me and is like, my girlfriend wants me to propose. I want to be ready, but I don't feel ready. And maybe this is just the type of person that I attract, like my more scientific vibe. But a lot of these guys are like, I just wish she would push me harder, or like, I want to live a big life and she's kind of happy being like a wife and a mom, and like, I wish that when we went trail running she was, you know, faster than me and pushing me, or I wish she wanted to talk more about conceptual ideas. It's not honestly about looks.
Sorry to interrupt, but for those listening, you can tell Logan's on the West Coast.
Okay.
And because she just referenced trail running.
I know.
It's so true.
I don't think you guys have this in New York, but honestly, like, the biggest cliche in San Francisco dating is that the guy like is really into cycling, really into rock climbing, is an engineer at a tech company. Yeah, and probably does trail running. And like, it's just like such a cliche.
Well, the quote we heard when we were in San Francisco doing the live you up was the chances are good, but the chances are odd.
The odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah, that's the San Francisco dudes. The odds are there's a lot of dudes in San Francisco, but they're going to be a little bit quirky, a little bit odd.
I totally agree. Yeah, I feel like that's my whole world. That's like definitely where I live. And so, yeah, so like the Maximizer is something I've seen from lots of people from all over. It doesn't always sound like what I just described, which would be like a guy talking about a woman being different. Plenty of people are like this around the world. And it's basically this conception of, I only just have to look a little bit more. The perfect person is waiting around the corner. And whatever perfect means to you, whether it's fits in better with your family or has a more impressive job or just, you know, you feel like your conversations are X percent more interesting, whatever it is, there's this feeling of like, I can't commit to what's in front of me because I don't know what else is out there. And this is a huge thing that I talk about all the time because this affects everything in life. Like if you're always looking for a house, but you never buy a house because you're like, well, could I find something better? It's like at a certain point you have to say, these are the things that matter to me. I found someone who has those things. I'm going to make it work with them, as opposed to the perfect thing is just around the corner.
That's got to be a very millennial thing, too. That feels like it's very much our generation of like tapas platters.
Definitely. And,
you know, we don't work at the same company. We're not sitting at GE for 50 years. You know,
like I feel like you're always posting about charcuterie, but it's true.
We're the charcuterie generation.
We're the charcuterie generation. I know.
I think it's also that our generation is the most self-conscious generation. We didn't start with the. We're always kind. I've been kind of like working this out. This thought.
Yeah, let's
out,
talk about it.
But it's like we like Gen Z. They've been on camera their whole life. Mm-hmm. They've been taped by their parents and posted on Facebook. They have been child stars, so they're kind of used to being a child star. You know, they were, you know, they're like the Drew Barrymore. Like Drew Barrymore is probably as comfortable on camera as she is off camera. Mm-hmm. Now, millennials, the camera got shown on us around college. So we're like the celebrity that got big at 21, and we really don't know how to handle it. So now we all have had cameras on us from like 22, 23 on, and we hit that fame at a really weird part of life. So we do believe all eyes are on us. So it becomes this thing of like, I can't fail. I can't fail. I can't have a bad job. I can't have a bad relationship. I can't have a bad marriage. So we become, and I'm using your word from before, we become precious with these things. I think that exists a lot for our generation.
That's super interesting. I'm going to think about it more. But, you know, when I'm not an expert on Gen Z at all, I feel like most things I know about Gen Z, I've learned through Bo Burnham. And I'm sure you've seen Eighth Grade.
Yeah.
Okay,
sure.
I'm like the biggest. Maybe everyone loves Bo Burnham, but I really love Bo Burnham. And I love like what he says just about like, you know, I would perform at these shows and these 14-year-old girls would come up to me and be like, everything you're saying about anxiety is exactly how I feel. And that's why in eighth grade, he put the things that he was feeling as a self-conscious, you know, 20-something man into this character of an eighth grade girl. And so I think Gen Z has its own stuff going on around always performing, always on, who am I really? Because who I am is what I project online. But I'm really not an expert on Gen Z. But yes, talking about millennials, one thing that I think we're all obsessed with is Googling or researching our way to the right answer. And so for me, do you know the website Wirecutter where you
read? I don't.
Okay, so it's a product review website. And so it's like, they're like, okay, you're ready to buy a pen. We have spent over 10,000 hours writing with different pens. This is the world's number one pen for all of these reasons. And like, now I can't make a purchase without going to Wirecutter because I'm like, I just need to know the perfect pen. And I'm so obsessed with it, right? And like, I go ahead. Sorry, I'm just rambling.
Not to interrupt you, but the pen thing, like I found a list of the top 100 pens.
No way. Why were you looking for that?
I think my brother sent it to me because I use pen like a look at it, I have a paper.
Oh my god, you're like my dad. I'm
a legal pad and pen type of guy because that's how I remember jokes. I can't remember a joke I've typed. I have to write it. So So my brother sent me a list. Somehow he found a list of top 100 pens, and every pen took you to their Amazon
that you could purchase. Because they get paid through affiliate links, yeah.
Totally. So I go to the top 10, and I found, like, the number four pen was the kind of the point on the graph was, like, price and pen. And now that's the pen I have, like, hundreds of them. God, and I have it right in front of me. I'm showing it to you on camera. Yeah. This was like the number four pen on this list. It's a Schneider Slider Memo XB, if anyone wants to get it. But it's okay. So sorry to interrupt on that.
Anyway, I'm glad that my pen thing that I said off the top of my head resonated, but it's so true. And even I was at a festival this last weekend and this guy was there who I didn't think that highly of. And then I saw his cooler and I was like, wow, that's the number one cooler on Wirecutter. I also have that cooler and I liked him so much more.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, this guy gets it. And so it's like, okay, we just call it, we say we're the charcuterie generation, but let's say we're the like Google generation or Wirecutter mm-hmm, generation. Mm-hmm. And so there's this conception, I can research my way to the perfect answer. And so then you apply that to dating. And it's like, oh, okay, I've been dating for 12 years and I figured out exactly what I like. Now I just need to locate that person. And there's this false sense of confidence that once you figure out all the dimensions, right, all the specs, right, like you talked about the pen being the perfect price and whatever the other specs were. But anyway, and that's a false premise for dating because there is no Frankenstein person where you just put together the five best things from your ex and they suddenly exist. It's really about you and another person coming together and building this unique thing that has never existed before. You can't break a person down into specs.
Yeah, and so there's romanticizer, maximizer, and what's the third one?
Yeah, the third one is the hesitator, and this has been really big during the pandemic, and this is essentially the person that's just not dating. So if you're listening to this and you wonder which one you are, you might be a mixture of all three, but if you're not dating right now, your predominant tendency is that you're a hesitator.
And so if you go to loganurie.com/quiz, you can take the test to find out where you are, and when you find out where you are, how does that help someone?
Yeah. So in my book, I go into a lot of different things around what to do if you're each type. So it's basically, why are you this type? What to do about it? What to do if you're dating this type? And it's basically just a framework. So the first thing is, all right, you have more information about yourself. You have a plan for overcoming it. And you can also use it as a word to tell your friends, like, okay, Jared, I'm a hesitator. I'm not dating. I need to get back out there. In 3 weeks, I'm going to start dating. Hold me to it. It's all about taking concrete steps to overcome your tendency.
I love this. And I think everyone listening is going to love it. And if they don't already have your book, they got to go buy it now. How to Not Die Alone. How to Not Die Alone. You can buy it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, all those great places. LoganUrie.com. That's where you can take the quiz right now. So pause it. Go to LoganUrie.com. Take the quiz. Find out your dating tendency. Then you buy the book and you figure yourself out and you find the love of your life. That's the romanticizer way to build that up. So at LoganUrie on Instagram. Are you ready to answer some emails?
I was born ready.
Let's do it. How important is texting grammar? J-Train, an esteemed guest. I recently climbed aboard a few months ago. A couple friends and I were supposed to see Michelle Wolf at Zany's in Nashville and were given free tickets to your show when she had to cancel. I wasn't familiar with their stuff at the time. However, I'm also Jewish and enjoy tickets for free. You absolutely crushed. Really enjoy your dating advice expertise. Well, thank you. My question is this. What are your thoughts when you're texting a girl and she has noticeably poor grammar? For example, multiple misspellings, wrong form of there. I'm certainly no English major myself, so I don't expect perfection. But is this something you might consider being a deal breaker? Do you correct them? Totally unrelated, but I think Shelby, who is our producer, looks like Nick Birch from Big Mouth. That's funny. Okay, so what do we think? Logan, what do you think about this grammar thing? This is kind of an overarching subject that comes a lot. What do you feel, your feelings on this, and what type of person does this?
Yeah, let me tell you my gut reaction, but I'm honestly very happy to differ in your answer, and I'm happy to be told that I'm wrong. So I think that people use grammar as a proxy for class and for education. And I think that this is actually like a pretty hot topic right now in terms of you know, the cultural conversation, right? It's like, why is white English vernacular better than another form of language? Or like, why do we have to care about spelling it Y-O-U-R versus U-R? So I actually think that this is a hotter topic issue than you might think in terms of the there, there, and there thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think people use it as a proxy for, are you educated? And so it's like, let's say you are someone who graduated from college or has a graduate degree. You might say, like, I just can't imagine myself with someone who doesn't know the difference between those things. And in the question, he's saying, should I correct them? And so I feel like the bigger thing is, like, how much does this matter? And so if you really care about being with someone who's smart, well, this isn't the only way to see if they're smart. And there's lots of ways to be smart. You could be physically intelligent and like have really good body intelligence. You could know a lot about different facts. You could be super artistic. And so if you are the kind of person who cares about what we might call like book smart or school knowledge, yeah, this is a proxy for that. But maybe that matters less than you think it does.
Well, you know, everyone's entitled to their own, everyone's judging. Let's start with that.
Yeah. Okay, like, great.
The idea that nobody's judging, we're all judging. We're judging the minute you walk in a room, you're judging everything that's going on. So let's admit to our own humanity. Sure. If you're sitting there, and I also think there's a difference between, like, I think what you said is so right. Like, are you sitting here to like work with them? Like, mm-hmm. like if you're not like, if you're not looking, if you're looking to date them, and mm-hmm. this thing doesn't matter as much as the other things matter to you to want to make you want to date them, maybe this is something you don't bring up. Maybe this is a part of who they are, and that's the reason, that one of the quirks that makes you like them. There's a difference between, you know, this being your languaging and making a mistake once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like what you're saying is like the vernacular, the you mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. If you're writing you are every time and you're turned off by that, that's okay to be turned off by that. But don't try and teach someone who you're turned off by. Like I would say to this guy, like correcting someone, like you're correcting someone you met on a dating app, like it's just not the match to me. Like if that's what you're hung up on, then you're hung up on you're wasting your own time, I think.
I honestly feel like there's so much to this question. It makes me think of all these different stories. Like, I know people whose boyfriends and then husbands were like, you know, I know that your family couldn't afford braces when you were little, but like mm-hmm. people really care about smiles and why don't you get Invisalign? And like, I know a bunch of adult women who have had Invisalign because their partners have suggested that they do so. And, you know, you might have a gut reaction to that. That's like, oh, that's really judgmental. But maybe that person's like, hey, this is like part of the way that the world is superficial. You can afford this. I'll support you in getting it. Like, do you want to do that? So there's stuff about teeth. There's stuff about accent. There's stuff about people misusing words. I think there's a lot of ego involved in like, who is this partner who's representing me? And I think that's what's going on with this person. They're like, do I want to be with the kind of person who doesn't know the difference between your and your, or sorry, your and your, and there and there and there. What all these theirs? It's like, yeah.
Who's to say they don't know the difference? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's the other thing. Like I sometimes like you're just trying. Like I get corrected all the time. It enrages me. Like because in my mind, like it makes me angry because. And this is why I don't think this person should be correcting people that they don't, because these people, when they correct me, they don't care about me. You know, like this is why it makes me mad.
Wait, what's an example of someone correcting you? Like social media posts?
I'll post a joke, or I'll post like I do answer question boxes on my Instagram, and I'll write jokes on there. And someone will respond, like if I mess up a your, okay? Uh-huh. They read the whole thing and then they come back to me with Y-O-U apostrophe R-E with like the little star next to it. To me, that wasn't my purpose. My purpose, like if you didn't get
it, if you didn't
understand what I was
really
writing,
like that.
You know what I mean? Like if the your threw you off so much, your response should be, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you wrote. But you're really just looking to let me know you know more than me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like they come. Yeah, because it's not like they come back 2 weeks later with a big grammar exam. You know, like if they care about me, they'd be like, hey, just want to check in. I have an exam for you to take on the conjugation of your. And then I would go, you really do care about me.
Yeah.
But they're really, like, if they cared about me, they would care about the thing I was saying and not to make the small correction. And I think this relates to this guy because it's like, if you're caught up in this, you don't care about these people. And that's okay to admit. That's just the truth.
I love what you're saying because I could almost imagine a scenario where it's like you write this whole long thing from your heart. You're giving advice. You really care. And then the person writes back, *YOU*. And it's like, if what you got from what I just shared was that I made a mistake around the word your and your, like, you don't get it. Like, is that your frame on the world that you are a grammarian who's just going through the world correcting people? It's like, maybe you're really well educated and you noticed that. Good for you. Like, congrats to the people who taught you. But if that's the message you're taking away, and if the one addition you want to make to the world is doing that, like, you need to change your perspective.
And what you said is you don't get it. And I do this all the time. I block people every single day. I have a quick block finger. Because, and I say this all the time. What you said is what I say. I say, you don't get it, and you're never going to get it.
Yeah,
and I'm never gonna get you to do. Never gonna get it. Gonna block you off of my Instagram. Gonna block you. Never see you. And you're gone forever. Because they're not gonna buy a ticket. They're not gonna subscribe to the podcast. Like, you can't. These people can't be formed into what you need them to be. And it's like, it's okay. We need to go our separate ways. But I have this happen with the live stream when I yell at The Bachelor and I do little captions on my thing. They'll correct me on the spelling of someone's name. Blocked. Goodbye. Gone.
It's so silly. It's like, if you are a person, honestly, if you're a person listening and you have the urge to do that, I want you to think about why. Is it that you feel like you need to be better than someone? Is it that you feel that that person is so wrong that this needs to be corrected? Like, what do they think you're going to do? Repost that clip with the name spelled correctly? Because honestly, there is a deeper message here, which is, if everyone is so afraid of not being perfect, no one's going to produce. Part of what you and I both do, right? We're putting content into the world, is we're putting out a lot of our first drafts. What you're seeing from us is a first draft. You're not seeing the book that I spent 2 years writing and a year editing that 20 different people looked at. You're seeing first drafts. And if we teach the world your first draft isn't good enough, no one's going to put anything out there. And so we need to be comfortable in a world where people can express first drafts.
You're speaking to my soul. My motto in life is, we write to edit. You know,
I love that.
You write to edit. Like, and I remember I would tell my brother, when my brother and I lived together, I would tell him like a premise for a joke, and he'd be like, and when he was in a bad mood, he'd be like, that's stupid. It's stupid. And I was like, no, we write to edit. Yeah. Why is it stupid? What's the next thing? What is what's the evolution of this? The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Hello Tushy. It's 2021 and the future of toileting is here. I love my tushy. No, not my own butt. I love my Hello Tushy. Yeah, that's right. It's a modern bidet and it's a win-win-win. It's going to save you money. It's going to make your bathroom experience luxurious and you're going to help save the planet. What's better than that? What else in your life is a triple win? Get the all-new Hello Tushy 3.0 Modern Bidet. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself before and after use with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle. And the knobs are antimicrobial. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. Look at that, people. It pays for itself in just a few months. That's right. The money you're saving on TP is going to go towards the price of this Hello Tushy, and then you're going to be making money here, people. It pays for itself in just a few months with Hello Tushy. You never wipe again. Just spritz with water, dry, and go. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. And if you've already got a tush on your pot, you can upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers. I am one of them. I am a happy, happy customer of theirs right now, and have a clean butt with every flush. It's just, this is, you get it, you use it, and within a week, you say to yourself, I can't believe I ever lived without
out it. That's what I'm telling you right now. Go to HelloTushy.com/JTrain and get 10% off. This is a special offer just for you. Go to HelloTushy.com/JTrain for 10% off. That's HelloTushy.com/JTrain and say hello to a clean butt. The J Train podcast is brought to you by Olipop. Can you hear that can open right up? Cracking a can of Olipop is like opening a portal into another universe. One where the sun is always shining and you can drink soda whenever you want. That's because Olipop is the new soda that's actually good for you. Other sodas are full of artificial ingredients, sugar, and corn syrup. Olipop is made with natural ingredients. A Coke has 39 grams of sugar, but Olipop's vintage cola only has 2 grams. And no added sugar. All of their products are non-GMO, vegan, paleo, and keto-friendly with less than 8 grams net carbs per can. Listen to these classic flavors. I've had them all. They're delicious. I have favorites. I have ones that I've had with a little bit of alcohol in them. Great, great mixer. There's classic root beer. Loved it. Loved it like on a Monday night with dinner when you're trying to get healthy. You want a little sweet. Love the classic root beer. Orange squeeze, good. Cherry vanilla, oh my God. Cherry vanilla is up there. That was because these are the sodas you avoided because you couldn't have them. These are the sodas you go, I don't know, I can't really. And these are the flavors that you would stay away from. You'd say, I'll have a DC, cherry vanilla. I don't know, too much. No, this is perfect. Cherry vanilla, strawberry vanilla, and classic grape. Great for cocktails. Okay, so I took the cherry vanilla, threw in some vodka in there, and ooh, that is good. It is the fastest growing functional beverage brand in America. You can get it at Whole Foods and Wegmans, or do what I do and get it delivered. I always have a case on hand. I have a case. The cherry vanilla is so goddamn good. I am so, and orange squeeze, great, you know, kind of a different take on the screwdriver for your football games. I'm telling you, delicious. And the root beer, like, you know how long it's been since I had a root beer? I've worked out a special deal for my listeners. You can get 20% off plus free shipping on your order. I recommend trying the variety pack. Yeah, get the variety pack. That's the way to go. It's a great way to try all their delicious flavors because they're all very, very good. That cherry vanilla, it's still in my mind. Go to drinkolipop.com/JTrain or use code JTrain at checkout to claim this deal. That's drinkolipop.com/JTrain. Olipop can also be found in over 6,000 stores across the country, including Kroger, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and Wegmans. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Logan Urie. Go to LoganUrie.com. Take the test right now, LoganUrie.com. How to Not Die Alone. That is the book. Go buy it. Okay, let's do some screenshot emails. I sent you a few. We usually do one.
Yeah, let me open my email.
But since you are here, and I'm such a huge fan, I wanted to do a few. This one's called Jared Send Help. Okay, I'll start reading it while you pull it up. Jared,
send help. Cute. Okay, got it.
I religiously listen to all your podcasts and Instagram stories. This sounds like someone who doesn't correct my grammar. Can't wait to see you in a few weeks. Anyways, I've come up with this opener on Bumble, and it's been a total flop. Now I'm just doing it to see how vulgar the next one's going to be.
I like this phrase.
So my line is, and here's the line that she sends, if you were an MLB player, what would your walkout song be? I'm attaching screenshots of the latest exchange. I think it's a fun question because it can tell a lot about a person by what their hype song is. But I'm striking out, no pun intended. Help a girl out with a foolproof pickup line or some ideas on how to pivot away from the sexual conversation right off the bat. Oh my fucking God. Okay, I'll stop with the puns, LOL. Oh, I didn't even catch the last one right off the bat. Okay. So
great.
Let's read the two she sent an attachment. I'll be him, you be her. So I'll be the disgusting pig that couldn't stop being sexual. That's what she says happens. You be her. Go ahead.
If you were an MLB player, what would your walkout song be?
Cardi B, WAP.
I think
he's just coming right out with it. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting choice.
Gotta be bold these days.
Ha 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 ha. Fits right in with the other ones I've gotten, actually.
Ha ha. What else do you usually get?
Some notable ones were Whistle, The Thong Song, My Humps, Candy Shop, and now WAP. Ha 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 ha.
Candy Shop, classic. Let you lick the lollipop.
Yes. I think that's great. Yes. Yeah, just when I think I've collected the songs with innuendo, there's another. Have you gotten any more creative openers?
Yeah, I really suck at them. At least you guys have to go first on this.
Did I? Oh. Ha ha, yeah. And you some... Oh, ha ha, yeah. And you somehow got out of answering prompts, which makes it even... Let me read that one again. Ha ha, yeah. And you somehow got out of answering prompts, which makes it even harder.
I did get out of one for sure. Here's one for you. How is that WAP?
Oh my God.
I mean,
how is that WAP?
I mean, how is that
WAP? No response. That is the end of the conversation.
Right? I mean, it is funny that they were dancing a little too close to the sun, and he jumped right into that burning ball and an inferno. So, like, this could have gone either way.
I agree. I mean, don't you feel like she could have written back, LOL, what are you doing this weekend? Like, do you feel like when he said that, he put it into a territory that was just like, eh, block?
See, I'm with you. I think you can always, like, if she had a problem with, listen, I don't want to blame the person writing in, because they're not to be blamed. Like, he goes for WAP, and she's like, I laugh. Cardi B WAP is just funny to think that it, like... To me, it's funnier because she's like, I've been getting sexual answers. And then the one she sends is just like, yeah, the guy's first answer is wet ass pussy. You're just like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, it is funny. But she does go, interesting choice. Gotta be bold. Okay, now you're playing along. The beauty of the app is the protection of the app.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're still, you might be having this flirtatious, semi-sexual conversation. But I do agree with you. She can at any point say, well, let's do drinks. But you have to be fully aware of the red flag that has already been risen that this guy has gone sexual sooner than later.
Like, okay, let me tell you, I love these questions because I feel like they're such good jumping off points for like a bunch of philosophical things. So please. I've been looking at so many dating conversations lately. I'm like, oh my God, this is so boring. This is so boring. Yeah, oh, you're visiting Minnesota? Have you ever been to Northern Minnesota before? Like, what? Like, what conversation? Who cares about Northern Minnesota? Like, these conversations are just so boring. And I'm like, of course you are experiencing burnout. These conversations suck. And like, I say to them, I'm like, show me how you text with your friends. And it's like one word answers, jokes, you send a bunch of things, you write, dot, dot, dot. It's conversational. And we act like initiating dating robot mode. And like, who wants to be in that conversation? So like, I like this conversation. Like, if you're listening and you were offended by the WAP thing, okay, that's not your sense of humor, but like,
bail.
I like her question. I think his answer is funny, and they're talking like friends. They're having a meta conversation like, oh, I'm on a dating app. I talk to other people with this question. Like, it's a lot of familiarity that feels like two people having a good conversation. It doesn't feel like popcorning these boring questions back and forth. And so she totally could have been like, LOL, let's see if we have as much chemistry in person as we have on this app. What are you doing this weekend? She just could have turned it into a date.
She could have written, I agree with you. I think your perspective is so right. I actually think, and I'm seeing this coming back into the dating world now, is that I think maybe 4 years ago, this conversation could lead towards that. I think people are so tired of kind of and have seen the future of this conversation going badly, so they opt out even earlier. So like, they've seen, oh, I went out with this guy who brought up WAP in the first minute, and then we went on the date and all he talked about was sex, so I'll never go out with that guy who makes the WAP joke again.
Fair point,
which is fair, but also it kind of gets you out of the zone of even giving this guy the benefit of the doubt, because Like, she could have responded. He says, I didn't get, here's one for you. How is that WAP? She could write back, a little bit dry now, but let's see if you can make it better over this weekend over drinks. You know?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, I just want to respect that if she was like, that joke was a no for me, that's fine. Like, she's allowed to do that. But I just feel like what a great dating app conversation looks like is something where people are being present. They're talking, they're exchanging information. And so, like, the kind of dating app openers I hate are things like, looks like that's a fun hike. Where do you like to go hiking? It's like, I don't care where you like to go hiking. That's so boring. And everyone who sees that photo looks at it. What I like is when someone's profile says, like, I know the best pizza spot in town. And then you say Delfina or Bust. And now you're having like a little bit of a feisty conversation. There's hot takes. Like, that's why the whole Aziz Ansari thing from his show about, like, I'm going to Whole Foods, what can I pick up for you on the way? That's why it's so funny, because it's like jumping like into the middle of the conversation. It's what you say to your friend. It's so not the dating app opener. And so don't use that. It's overused. But what's your version of that?
So I guess that's what I'm going to ask of you. You work with Hinge. Do you think a good opener, like, do you think this is a good opener? Do you think a better opener is jumping in the middle of the conversation? I'm always the person that gives the advice. And this advice might be, you know, my advice might have aged already. My advice was always make it personal about their profile, because that's their art project and we're all narcissists. So you might as well make it about something they made. So what would you say is like the proper opener? So, and is this a good one?
So, yeah, I have a formula for this that I think works pretty well. And I have an image of it that I can send you. But it's basically, hey, insert the person's name. I noticed something specific on their profile that's not that obvious. Then say your connection to it and then ask a question about it. So I would say, hey, Jared, I noticed that you have a bunch of pictures from Boca Raton. I'm actually from Boca Raton. What's your favorite bagel place?
Are you a Way Beyond person?
Oh my gosh. We'll talk about Way Beyond later. But yeah. So that was basically my hobby in high school. So anyway, yeah, I think that's exactly it. So, hey, person's name, something you noticed about their profile, not the most obvious thing, your connection to it, and then ask a question. And that question gets you into it. And honestly, I don't know if you get this in questions all the time, but so many of my female clients are like, I'm the only one asking questions. And I call the people who don't ask questions ZQ, zero questions. So if you're listening to this and you're a ZQ, just ask a freaking question. It's not that hard. That's what people want in a conversation.
Also, stop talking to that person. Also, the minute you notice it is the minute you're annoyed. Is the minute you're turned off. It's okay to be turned off. You know, right? So JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I didn't want to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say one more thing, which is like, my formula is that I also think rules are made to be broken. If you have a hot take and you want to say it, what's going to make you stand out is that you're going to seem more conversational and less formulaic than other people. And so maybe this opener that she gives everyone isn't it. But if you have a hot take on their profile, I think you can just write something like, Way Beyond Bagels or Bust. And that could actually launch you into what feels like a great friend conversation and not just a formulaic conversation.
Love it.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Upstart. If you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt. Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can finally get ahead. I'm telling you right now, if you're working with debt, you're paying a rent or a rate. I'm sorry. If you have a debt, you're paying a rate. And I don't know if Upstart can help you, but it might. And it's worth taking a look. This is an opportunity. And if your rate can go down and you can now have a new lender with a better rate, what's better than that? That's finding money in your jacket pocket. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. And also, it's online. You're not going to the banker. This is an easy way to just check in on your own personal finances. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. See, an opportunity. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/JTrain. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Here's the fine print. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/JTrain. The J Train Podcast is sponsored by Ritual. Ritual is a clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin with high-quality nutrients and bioavailable forms that your body can actually use. Do you really know what's in your multivitamin? Sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, artificial colorants, not to mention animal byproducts like sheep's wool and gelatin from hooves and hides are all ingredients you might find in a multivitamin. I'm telling you right now, I'm a big Ritual user. And the name is my main reason. I love starting my day knowing I'm doing something positive for myself and my health. That's right. I'm doing something positive. It's something to fill in the gaps. Not every day is a leafy green day. That's where Ritual comes in. And also, just knowing that the stuff that's going in it and being sure that it's not just some, you know, put together thing. This is natural. This is all ingredients you might find, all ingredients that are... They have a visible supply chain. This is huge. You should know where these things are coming from. Ritual's great. It makes taking vitamins easy. I love it. It's made traceable. You'll always know what you're taking and where the nutrients come from thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. That's just nice to know. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping. Always, you can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. So get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering J-Train listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/JTrain to start your ritual today.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com, JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We have a, let's do another one. This one's called Leave Ball in Her Court or Take It Back. Mm-hmm. Screenshots attached. It's a dude email. So let's cue the music. We have a lot of women that write in, not a lot of men. Here's a male email. Hey, JTrain, listener since Poop Talk. I met a cool girl named on Saturday night who is a friend of my friend's girlfriend. Okay, loose connection, friend of a friend's girlfriend, good. I'm 28, she's probably 26. We seem to hit it off all night as we bar hop. Very fun time. We exchange phone numbers. The next morning, I text her to try and make plans to see each other again. Not sure if she's as interested in me and seeing me as I originally thought. See text attached. Okay, so he texts her. I'll be him, you be her. You ready?
Great.
Good morning, this is smiley.
Hey. Oh, yeah. You want to say it again?
Good morning, this is, let me take out the names and I'll do this in post. Good morning, blank. This is blank, smiley face.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. I didn't want to get out of bed this morning, but feeling good now, ready to watch some football.
Fun. Yeah, I think I'm heading to Mello soon with some friends to watch the games.
Nice. Do you want to get dinner with me this week? All right.
I travel for work during the week, so I'm gone all this week.
Ah, is that every week?
Most weeks, yeah. I visit every hospital in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll be gone Saturday, but let me know if you're free Sunday or some other time.
Yes.
Okay. When I asked her to hang out, she said she was busy, but didn't come back with a daytime that worked better for her. This happens sometimes, and I'm wondering if I should just leave the ball in the girl's court and just wait, or if I should check back in a few days, like I did with this girl in this text. I sent the last message to her last night, Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. It's now 10 a.m. on Thursday. I don't think I'll hear back from her at this point, and I won't reach out back out, but I'm wondering if I should not have sent the message at all. I've been in similar situations before and usually have a mindset that I'd rather reach back out that way. It's clear to me based on someone's response or lack thereof. So I guess he reached out again and didn't get an answer, and now it's Thursday at 10 a.m. So we're assuming she kind of bailed. What do you think? Did he do the
Jared,
right
you
thing?
You see that there's one more message after she said yes. So from Sunday at 5:26, she said yes, and then he did the follow-up, which I guess was Thursday.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Is that...
The third one.
That's the third one?
It says, are the travels going well so far this week?
Oh, I see that. Why is it coming up so small amount? Okay, so he wrote, are the travels going well so far this week? And he got no response to that.
I mean, the first thing I would say is, like, I totally agree that these messages are ambiguous. Like, when I see her messages, like, she uses exclamation mark, hey, fun. So that makes it seem like she's interested. And also when she says, I'm heading to Mellow soon with some friends to watch the game, like, doesn't that sort of seem like a kind of an invite? Like, she's letting him know where, and she's, like, reinforcing that they have this thing in common of watching football.
Yeah, I took it as a positive conversation that I took it as... like toe in the water. I like, she was kind of, I think what he has to remember is that people are going to give people chances that are that they enjoy, you know, like I and it's kind of in the realm of the maximizer type. Like, she's doing a little bit of maximizing here. She's like, met a nice guy. He's friends with my girl, with my girlfriend's boyfriend. I'll respond to the text.
Yeah.
And then he's, I mean, he kind of, he didn't really like, he didn't really glow up his text. He did kind of just go, do you want to go dinner with me this week?
I like, love it. I love it. Honestly, rereading these messages again, like, this is one of the many things that's frustrating about modern dating is, like, we're all in this, like, nebulous, ambiguous space where it's like, do I think you're attractive? Am I interested in you? And we, like, have all these balls in the air. And it's like, actually, I just want to give this guy, like, a round of applause because he just shot his shot. He said, do you want to go to dinner with me this week? It's like, I met you last night. I'm interested in you. And I'm not like, oh, do you like maybe want to do a group hang? This is to me very secure behavior. Do you want to go to dinner with me this week? And then she introduces the ambiguity. I travel for work during the week. He didn't say on a weekday. Like, he's really trying. I think she's being ambiguous.
I agree with you. I think that's kind of back to the point of, like, she's doing the, why would she respond with, like, the exclamation point and the plans? It's like she's keeping this going a little bit while she makes the decision because she hasn't made it yet. And it seemed, and I want to answer his question. I sent the last message to her last night, Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. It's now 10 a.m. Thursday. I don't think I'll hear back from her at this point. I won't reach back out, but I think it's fine to not reach back out. Yeah. I think that's the correct move. But I'm wondering if I should not have sent that last message at all. I think he absolutely should have. Get your answer. Also, his second message, how's the work week going, is vulnerable because he's following up. Do you know what I mean?
I have a different take, which is basically, here would be my advice for him. I would say, like, first of all, 10 out of 10 out of just saying, like, do you want to get together for dinner this week? I like that. Very secure. You shot your shot. The next part, when she's ambiguous, you know, is a little hard, but I think his follow-up text, instead of getting into more, like, ambient text back and forth, he just could have said, like, hey, I know you travel a lot during the week. I've been really wanting to check out this charcuterie place. What are you doing Sunday for brunch? And so I think a big way to get out of this calendar limbo is you get specific. You say, I want to go to this place at this time on this day. And the person can then counter with a different day or time, or they tell you they're not interested. But just saying, how are your travels going? Like, then you just get into this nonstop texting that we're all so sick of.
And it gives her a chance to be as ambiguous as she was before. So your advice, and I you have brought me to your corner. I totally agree. Your advice is basically to say, is to ask more definitively. So, you know, like, so you let someone know, like I'm sure this would be surprising to him. And it's easy advice to give, harder to take.
Sure.
He's probably sitting there being like, I don't know if I should have even sent that ambiguous text. You're saying, and I agree with you, no, send a text that actually defines what you're looking for even more.
At this point, I would say leave this conversation and move on.
Now it's time to leave. Yeah.
This one is done. He expressed interest. She doesn't seem that interested. She hasn't responded in a few days. Move on. But my advice for him next time is continue what you did in the beginning of just being really direct. Can I take you to dinner this week? And then if you're basically sitting in ambiguity being like, is it that she's not free or that she's not interested? Well, you know the information that she's free on the weekends. So ask her about a specific day at a specific time at a specific place, and then her answer will tell you, yes, she's interested in you, she just wasn't free, or no, she's not interested in you, period.
Totally. So, I mean, if we were like to put this into beats, it would be you shoot your shot. If you get ambiguity, one more shot.
Clarify, yeah.
Clarified shot that based on the information you have, and then it's done. Then
move
you've
on.
Done your piece.
Move
because
on.
We also want to make sure that we release from it. We want to make sure people totally. Don't do the thing where it's, hey, how come you haven't got back to me? Which that is that's where we head into the danger zone of these things. And we're trying to give people the chance to get turned down here.
Maybe I'm just, look, I like texting. I love texting. I text all the time. But if I open my phone and I saw other travels going well so far this week, I'm just like, oh, what am I going to do? The flight was boring. Like, I ate a good dinner. Like, I don't want to have that conversation. Like, let's get off the texting app, whatever. Let's actually meet up. See if we have a vibe. Like, texts like this are what makes everyone hate dating.
Especially with the guy that you're not generally just not excited about to begin with. You know,
maybe that's right.
JTrain podcast at gmail.com, JTrain podcast at gmail.com here with Logan Urey. Logan Urey at Logan Urey on Instagram. How to not die alone. Go, go, go. Get the book. LoganUrey.com/quiz. 3 dating tendencies. Go take the quiz right now. We'll do one more. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. Great.
Okay, great. Listen, screenshot email, morning algebra and sharing your number on apps.
Oh, this seems like something I would like. Okay.
Okay, good. JTrain, an esteemed guest. I love the pod and all you do. And I'm excited to see you in D.C. this weekend. So this is from a little bit farther back. D.C. was fun. Thank you for coming. Happy you had a good time. I'm sure she did. Feather. My friend sent this attached screenshot to me, and I would love your hot take on this method of sharing your phone number. Also, what does it say about my friend for asking for help in solving it? Sincerely, apparently I'm a math tutor now. So let's go to the screenshots.
I like that sign off. Okay, yeah, which one's first? Okay, I think the first one is with the man's name, and then the next one is with the screenshot of. Okay, got it.
Yeah, okay, so... we're learning about important dates in history. Want to be one of them? Okay, we're in.
Okay. I'd love to be. Only one problem. There's something wrong with my phone. It doesn't have your number in it.
Ooh, this would be the part in the sitcom where the audience, ooh. Ah, yes, that is a problem. Well, I hope you're good at math. Sweaty face emoji.
Oh, no, I'm so glad you have to say this out loud and I don't.
Oh my God. Four times. This is.
Oh my God.
This guy has to be an engineer. Okay. 4 times 7 plus 253. I mean, we can't give out his number. I mean.
Yeah. Okay. There's basically like a multiplication, then numbers in parentheses with division, and then like plus a number, times a number, plus a number, then. A number times a number to the second power plus 3.
I mean, I have to look up PEMDAS to like
what
do
is
this
that again?
Equation.
PEMDAS.
PEMDAS was in mathematics and computer program, the order of operations is a collection of rules that reflect. Yeah, I just Googled it.
Wait, remind me what it is. Is it parentheses? PEMDAS. What's E?
Let's see
E
if you
is
get
exponential.
It.
Is that
almost
right? Exponent.
I love that I have the answer and I get to test the Harvard graduate.
Multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. What was the
E? You got it. Exponents.
Oh, exponents. Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. Okay, so the order is parentheses, exponents, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. And then there's a little face. What's that face doing? What's the emoji?
So he says, don't forget. Oh, he even wrote, don't forget about PEMDAS. And then the emoji is, it looks like a.
Like a sneeze?
A sneezing one. Yeah. Okay. Also, you're smarter than me. So this is the screenshot of the text. This is the friend. So the friend then sent this to the emailer. Also, you're smarter than me, so I need your help with something. And then the email wrote, what's
up? Oh, I think we read them backwards. It was the girl who had sent the number like that. That's really funny.
I got it. That's really funny.
So then the
funny.
Friend says, help me figure out what this girl's number is, LMAO. Okay, I mean, this is my style. Like, I love this. I used to have on my profile, send me a riddle. Because I was like... Mm-hmm. Are you going to take the effort to like think of a riddle or Google a riddle? Plus, even if I don't like you, at least I got to think about a fun riddle and it was something different. And I feel like, oh my gosh, I actually just really love this because, Jared, there's this concept called the IKEA effect, which is what it sounds like, which is like if you just get a piece of furniture, you value it some amount, but if you actually build that furniture, you value it so much more because you're like, I put my own effort into it. And so when we put effort into something, we value it more. So this guy having to work for her phone number, what he says to himself is, this is also overcoming cognitive dissonance, but it's like, I had to put work into getting her phone number. That must mean I really like her because why would I put effort into something I don't want? Therefore, I want it. And so I actually think it's like a crazy psychological thing that will make this person like this girl more.
Listen, that all makes sense to me. That I totally agree with that. I think anything you work for, you end up cherishing a little bit more. I totally agree with that. I think it's funny that we assumed... We did gender this in a way that, like...
We absolutely did. I think totally the person flip-flop. Also has an ambiguous name, but I do too, yes. Right? Logan can be a guy, but we did gender this for sure.
And with the math stuff, I just immediately thought it was a male engineer.
There
was,
we
like, no way around... And which, apologies, but also hilarious. But also... Here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and advise everyone to create... some sort of math equation to get their number. Like, I don't think that, but this fits the tone of the conversation.
It
obviously fits this person.
Yes.
They're telling you very much who they are. Like, I'm not going to tell, if you're not this type of person, don't be this type of person.
Yes. But be spiky, and some people will like you and some people don't. Don't be the person that everyone likes because then no one will be super excited about you. Turn the right people on and the wrong people off.
So this is to that point, like this is going to get this person excited if they're down to do the equation. And it didn't come out of left field because they did the fun, like we're learning about important dates in history.
Of course,
he's playing
they're being
along
nerds.
One problem. They're being nerdy. And I love that.
I
love the way of getting this person's number just for the fact that it matches what we have in front of us.
It stands out. It's not boring. It's on brand. It's spiky. And you know what? If the person wrote back, is your number, 203, and that was wrong, the person would give them the right number. Like, this isn't the end of the conversation. This is just a fun game. They're being playful. And like, Jared, this is the problem. I'm saying everything is a problem with modern dating.
Sure, but that's okay.
One of the big problems with modern dating is that we treat dates like job interviews. And my advice is that you should be playful. You should be interactive. That's what people find joyful, is when you're present and you're having a new interaction, not when you're repeating the same small talk BS that you repeat all the time. And so this is a very particular way of being playful. And some people would be like, oh, gross. And other people would be like, yes, this is the person for me. And so I advise people listening, come up with your version of this, even if it's not mathematical.
You know, they have that prompt on Hinge that is like, you're my type of weird if.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
It's a good prompt, but it gets wasted a lot of time. A lot of times people are like, you're my type of weird if you put mushrooms on pizza. And it's like, It's like, how about a little thought? How about you use that one and you get very weird? Like, this is a weird way to give a number, but if someone can figure it out or if someone plays along, they're your type of weird.
I love
that. That's part of
it. Do you have a good answer off the top of your head for that? I'm thinking about mine. Nothing jumps to mind for
me. My type of weird you're my type of weird. I don't know. Mine would all be gross and stupid toilet humor right off the bat. That's like my first thought. Eat the tails of a shrimp. I like the shrimp tails.
Oh, that's cool. That's great because even if the person isn't into that, they can be like, what? That's so weird. Or they can be like, where I'm from, we always do that. Like, it's a jumping off point. It's just, I was looking at so many profiles last night, and I know this is like dating app 101, but it's like, I don't care that you're looking for good conversation. I don't care that you like to travel. I don't care that you like to cook.
Don't
like,
give a
be
shit.
Specific. Be weird. And maybe that's like, That's like our TLDR from this conversation is be your type of weird.
Yeah, this is this phone number is weird. It's quirky. It is something that like I would look at it and go, I have a headache. I gotta go.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
But it's gonna work for somebody.
I would love it. I would like text like a guy friend and be like, oh, I found like my dream guy. He sent me a math riddle. Can you help me with it? Not even that I would know how to do it like initially, like for myself, but I would just be like, I like that this person is engaging me. And totally. So it would work for me. It wouldn't work for you. So come up with the thing that expresses your type of weird. Boom.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Logan Urie, thank you for coming on. This was fantastic.
The time flew by. I had so much fun.
I'm so happy to have you. Everyone go follow Logan on Instagram. She's putting up nuggets like she's given out here on the podcast every day at Logan Urie. How to Not Die Alone is the book. You go buy it right now. LoganUrie.com. If you're just like, maybe I'll buy the book, start with the test. It's a free quiz. You can find out who you are as a dater. It is LoganUrie.com/quiz, the 3 dating tendencies. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday and Thursday with your emails, your stories, your questions. We'll be back next episode. Boom.